couple of weeks ago, Lee was sharing at one of the Sunday night services. I guess it was our first service of the new year, and I've just been thinking on what he shared that night, at least in part. And I went back and I just transcribed it here. So I'm gonna read it and then we'll go from there. But he said he was talking during the service, and he said that Carla had asked him, said, you know, what is the Lord showing you for this new year, you know, in this new year? And this is what he said. He said, nothing new. He says, and this is what the Lord spoke. He said, this is what the Lord spoke to him. Nothing new. I have laid out for my people the harvest, and I have called them to it. I have given them grace beyond measure. I have withheld nothing from my people. And of course, my people here is us, right? This body at F&T. I have taught them praise, and I have called them to it because it is the answer to my presence. I have encouraged them in faith. Now it is for us to walk in that. He has built upon these things year after year. And we see that, right? For those of us who have been here for a while, we've seen that. We've seen that from 2016 all the way until now. God has been speaking on these things, building on these things, revealing them in greater measure to us in our lives through our experience here in the body of Christ. But that's been going on for at least the last 4 years. And His grace, ministering to us in His grace, that's been going on for even longer. And so He's been doing this. It is time to continue to grow in these things, walk in these things, and move in these things. Cultivate a desperation for the Holy Spirit. He is your greatest friend and companion. Through Him, you can pray and worship and prevail over anything that comes against your life. Return to something you have been acquainted with in the past, the ability to come into His presence and rest there and commune with Him and fellowship with Him. Where the Holy Spirit is able to breathe upon the coals of your heart and cause you to burn for Him with a burning love and fervency and desire for the Lord. We can't make it without the presence and the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to come to Him for His power. I want to come to Him for Him because He's precious and He's loving and He's gentle. He wants you in His presence. He wants you familiar with Him. You know where you are. You know if you sense an urgency. And so that was kind of the second part of his admonition, is that it has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be by the work of the Holy Spirit. And I loved how the Lord just was calling us to. And honestly, in the beginning of this year, the end of last year and beginning of this year, I think one of the neat things is the sermons that were given to us by Ross and by Felix and others, and Lee himself, of course, have all continued to center around this and continue to build us up in this. And he ends it with saying, you know where you are. You know if you sense an urgency. And I would say this to us this morning as we begin to talk through this, look at some scripture regarding this, is that if you know where you are, that you may not be in a place where you sense an urgency. You may not be in that. You may be, and we'll talk about some of these. The Lord knows that, and He hasn't rejected you. He hasn't thrown you to the side. And so tell Him that. Tell Him, I don't feel this urgency. I don't have this urgency. Put it within me. Help me. And that's one of the reasons I've just been thinking on this in regards to Scripture over this time is I need that. I need this urgency, and I'll share some more, but you know if you sense an urgency. Rekindle the ability to tarry and linger in the presence of the Lord so that we can experience and know the waves of His moving, the breathings of the Lord upon our lives, the visitations of the Holy Spirit that bring us peace, comfort, and joy. Our only help is that we come into His presence. And so that was kind of the last part that Lee was speaking that night is let's get back to the place where we wait on God and where we sit in His presence. It's kind of ironic because what do we do when we get close to the end of something, or if we feel like something is coming? Like I know when I'm on vacation, right? And you're on a nice week or 2 week long vacation, and when I know the vacation's coming to an end, God, I feel this horrible, need to squeeze as much in as I can because Monday's coming and I got to go back to work. And, and so kind of the opposite's true for us, that we normally want to just do and squeeze. We feel this pressure. And so I loved what the Lord was speaking to us of, yeah, we know it's the end. Yeah, we know it's come to a close. But he's saying, wait, tarry, learn to sit with me, learn to be quiet with me. And we see this in the life of Christ. You know, one of the things that always amazed me, or the scriptures that kind of blow my mind is how Jesus, it would say that even with all he had going on, I mean, there was not, Jesus held the power. He had the power and he was changing the world minute by minute every day. I mean, literally minute by minute every day. And yet what did Jesus do? He would steal away, right, is what the scriptures would remind us of, to go and be with the Father, to sit with the Father. And yeah, they would find him and he would jump. But he was always, and we only see that in a couple of times, but that doesn't mean, I believe, that's just revelation, that I believe that was a practice in his life of stealing away. In the greatest moments of his life, that's what he did. He stole away with the Lord to sit with his Father, to be with his Father. And so we see those three things that Lee spoke, that one is God has poured into us his grace. He's poured into us about praising him. He's poured into us about our faith, building our faith, stirring our faith, that we might be in his presence. And that was the second thing, is that we would rely on, cling to, be dependent on, and just seek the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That would be what leads us into the presence of God. And that when we're in that presence, we would learn to tarry there, to linger there, to be there, to stay there. And so, I've just been thinking about, what will we do with this word? What will we do with what God has spoken and imparted to us? Now, I don't mean just what Lee said that night, but over these last few years. And God is saying, I've done all of this for this time. This time. And I really wouldn't be shocked if we don't make it to the end of 2021, right? I mean, that's how close the time is. And I agree with Lee, we're no prophets, but we have the scriptures. And we have what's burning in our hearts and what's burning in our spirits. And I know it grows in me as well, that it's close and that there's not much time left. And that's the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. I believe he stirs us in that. I believe he works in us in that. And so we should heed that. And so what will we do with what God has spoken and imparted to us? Will we be the wise or the unwise virgins? And I just mean that in using and relying on the oil that was given or has been given to us. Or will we be the faithful or the wise, or the faithful, wise, or wicked servant? And in that passage in Matthew 25, he's talking about taking care of the household of God. That's what he was alluding to there. Will we be unmoved and unchanged? Will this year be like all the rest? And what I mean in that, this was the questions that I had to ask of myself, because honestly, the Lord speaks things to me and I work to obey. But if I'm honest, there's a whole lot of status quo in my life of still doing it my way, giving God what's his, but then holding on to what's mine. And God is saying, I've poured so much, I've given so much and prepared you so much for this hour. And we'll look at some scriptures here in a minute, but will this year be like the rest? And I don't mean in regards to a New Year's resolution, right? That's not what I mean. But I mean in allowing God to do what he has prepared me for and prepared us for. We have a choice in that. We have a choice in that. It is not left up to fate as it would be. It's not, well, I don't know. I don't know if this year is going to be like the rest because I don't know what's in store. No, that's not how this works. God has said, I've given you everything. I have poured out and prepared you for this time. Will you take it? Will you walk with me? Will you take my Holy Spirit and let's do this together? Let's finish this race together. We have a choice in that. Will we hear the beckoning and not berating or demanding? That's not what God was saying that night when he laid that out to Lee. He's not saying, hey, I've given you everything. Come on, get on it. Let's go. He is beckoning us. He says in Corinthians, he says, we're his fellow workers. He's not saying, take this and go get it done. He's saying, come on. I've laid all this out. Everything's ready. The harvest is there. Let's go. Let's go. He's beckoning to us. He's not demanding of us. So will we hear the beckoning of our Father? And so when I was looking at this, it my thoughts took me to Philippians chapter 3. And so we can turn there if you have your Bible. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 12. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained this, and we'll go back and we'll see what this is and the it is that he's talking about here. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. And so we see in this verse, he says he's doing this. He says, I'm going to press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And so simply because Christ had called him and made him a child of God, a son of God, Paul says, this is where, and we're going to read other passages where he just talks about this is invaluable to me now. But he gives us three things there. He says, this is what I'm going to do in order to make it my own. He says, I'm going to forget what lies behind. And we can't forget that part because we often cling to the second part of this passage. We cling to the straining and the pressing on, but he says, I forget what lies behind. And honestly, I believe that's what trips me up so much in my life is that I don't reckon those things to be dead. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not even talking about sin. I'm talking about the things that God is calling us forward. It's an upward call. It's moving us forward. And so many times I do look at what's behind. I love what's behind. I want to stay, and even if it's something God has done in my life, sometimes I want to stay in what he's done. I don't want to go where he's leading me. I don't want to keep going in the race, right? It's easier to sit in that. It's easier to be in that place. And even if it's not the slavery, you know, of Israel, that, you know, as Lee has preached before, even if it's something of the Lord, I just want to stay there. And it's not forgetting what lies behind in the sense of, forget what God's done in our life. But again, this is in the context of a race. This is in the context of moving forward, right? And so if you're in a race, you don't turn around. You don't look at what's going on behind you. There's only one thing that matters, and that's going. In fact, you know, it's becoming more and more prevalent in this day and age. And maybe it's just because we have more videos of it, but, you know, these, and they're classic. In fact, there's like montages now of this where people that are in these races, I've seen it in cycling races, foot races, and they feel like they blew the doors off the guy behind them, right? And so they let up and they, you know, they come in with their arms raised and here comes these dudes and they squeak it out right in front of them. And they just have this look of horror on their face. Like, how did that happen? That's not forgetting what lies behind, right? Those guys shouldn't even be thinking about what's behind them. They should only see what's there and what they've been given and how they've been trained and keep going on until they make it to the very end. So we can't leave that out. But then he says, straining forward to what lies ahead. And that word straining forward, it means to stretch out to or towards. And I believe Paul used that because he uses this often in his teachings. But I believe he is giving us the picture of an athlete, right? Of a runner. Because what do they do when they get to the finish line? You know how they do. They stretch out, right? They're straining with that last little bit to be the first to cross that finish line, to be the first to get there. And then he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize. And that word press on, and this is one of the things that actually started spurring this on in me, is I think Hayden said the other night at service, or Ethan said, you know, let's press into Jesus tonight. And I just began to think about that. And I was thinking, where do we get that from? You know, because it, in my flesh, it connotates a striving and a work on my part, you know? And I was thinking, but can I just rest in Jesus? Can I? And so I just began to have this debate with myself. And that's where I began to study and to look and say, God, you know, because I don't want to. That's my normal condition is to strive in my flesh, right? To tell God I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to figure a way out to make this work so I can be closer to you. And it does go both ways. But that's what got me on this. But that word press on, it means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to run after. Figuratively, of one who in a race runs swiftly to reach the goal, to seek after eagerly, earnestly, endeavor to acquire. And so that's what Paul is saying here. Is he's saying, and again, it's all in this connotation. He says, I'm going to race. I'm going to run that I might grab hold of Jesus, as if Jesus wasn't near, as if Jesus was still somewhere out there to go be grasped. This is how I'm going to run. And it's for the upward call. And that thing, and I think this is important, it's an upward call. And that connotates that there's not an end to it. Because that's another temptation in my life, is to feel like I've arrived, to feel like I've made it, to feel like I'm done. And it's not that we can't live in peace and in rest, but there's not an end to this. There will be one day. And that's gonna be when we stand before Him and we know Him as we're known. And then that call will be finished. But in this life, that's not going to end. And what fools if we say, well, I'll just wait till I get there. You know, I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that. So I'll just wait till I get there. There's a straining and a striving. And so Paul, in many cases, he alludes to and draws parallels with athletic or military training. And I was just thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, as he talks in that context, what if, and I don't know if y'all ever pay attention to the Olympics and these guys and what they do, you know, if you ever read about Michael Phelps and his training regimens and stuff, but what if an Olympic sprinter, you know, the year before, and of course they're training. As soon as the last Olympics ends, they're training for the next Olympics, right? So, but let's just say in that last year, the year before the Olympics is coming up, what if an Olympic sprinter just went about his life as normal? What if he just did everything as we do? They ate whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. They slept in late. They watched TV. They played video games. They took lots of vacations, ensuring that they had plenty of relaxation, you know, because that's a lot of hard work. I don't want to do that, so I'm just going to take it easy. Maybe they even did a lot of constructive and necessary things in taking care of their families and their community and other inwardly or outwardly beneficial things. So it's not that it's just they, I'm not saying they just waste time, but I'm saying they're living a normal life like the rest of us. They kept up a good side job to ensure they provided for all their needs and can have enough to enjoy life. What would we think of that athlete when they arrived at the Olympics? And we were told of their preparation or lack thereof. What would it look like when they stepped on the track for the first time? And what would happen when the gun was fired and it's time to take off? And I was just thinking about that. And I was thinking, it'd be an absolute disaster. I mean, it wouldn't even happen, right? I mean, those guys would never even be allowed to step foot on the track. It would be over for them. And it's because their life is very different from ours. And it's not just those guys, but other guys like them. What does actually take place in these athletes' lives as they prepare? Day by day, hour by hour, even minute by minute at times, nonstop until that moment that they put their feet in the blocks and the gun is fired. It's all part of the race. And so it is a 24/7 affair for those guys. It's never ending. And so that's how they live. That's how they live all the time. And it's because there is a prize that they're shooting for. There is something that they desire. And so they're going to go out. And I remember Clint Denon said one time, and this is where my flesh can really get in trouble, and this is not what he meant, but he meant it like Paul means it. And I remember Clint Denon said, I think it's in his testimony that he shares, but he says, I was watching the TV one day, and he said, I saw Bruce Jenner. But this is before, you know, all the garbage. But he said, I saw Bruce Jenner. And at that time, Bruce Jenner was a decathlete, I think is what he did. And he was like USA's golden boy. And he said, I was watching the TV and they were talking with Bruce Jenner. And Bruce Jenner was talking about the hours every day that he spent training, that his life was consumed by it. And Brother Clendenin said, he said, if that's what he can do for something in this world, he said, then I'm gonna do better for Jesus. And and that was Clendenin's heart. That was his mind. Is that, wait a minute, if this guy can pour out his life to go try and obtain this thing, then I've got to exceed that in my pursuit of Christ. But all of those things are part of the race. It's all part of the straining and the pressing. Up until that last moment when the tape is broken and we stand at rest looking back at what has just occurred, waiting to see the result for their name to be called, all of that goes in. And I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, this is what God has been doing for us over these last many years. He has been training us. He has been preparing us for this day. He's been pouring all of this into us. And it's ours now to take that and to forget what lies behind and just press, to strain and to press on until we reach that tape, until we're finished, and to not be distracted. And I want to be clear that in no way does any athlete ever accomplish this on their own, right? They don't set out and do this by themselves. There were countless friends and family members, coaches, trainers, state-of-the-art gear, state-of-the-art training equipment, and state-of-the-art training facilities that went into it. There were also inevitable setbacks, failures, and injuries along the way that were overcome by continuous pushing, encouragement, and healing. Who made them get up on the days when they didn't want to and to go one more day when they wanted to quit? It is in no way something that they produced through their own striving, straining, and training. In some ways, they were just a vessel, a tool, a willing subject. And it was everything else around them that poured into them that said, we're going to make this happen. And it is the same with us. And I believe that's one of the things God's saying with us is that, yes, He has poured all this into us. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit every day that is going to, and it should be. And that's where we get to decide that, right? Because none of these guys are trained by force, unless maybe you're in old school Russia, you know, or China. They're not trained by force. It's a choice. They can tell the trainer, take a hike, I'm done, I'm finished. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit, He would wake us up every day. He would call us out every day. He will call us to prayer. He will call us to praise. He will do these things all throughout the day, just like we talked about with these athletes, minute by minute, moment by moment. He would do the same for us and desires to do the same for us. Ours is the choosing. Will we take that? Will we accept that? Will we allow Him to do that? Or will we go about our normal lives and our normal business? The people around us, the body of Christ, you know, I can't stress that enough. That's what we're here for. My first exhortation is that it's what we should be doing for others. We should come to this sanctuary and to these fellowships and these gatherings and these times and this body of Christ with a vision and a desire to help everyone else complete their race. That should be our goal. And when we are in the dumps, and when we need strength, and I came in here last week, and honestly, I was like, this year, and it wasn't because anything went wrong, it was just in my heart, but I was like, this is off to a terrible start. I'm done. I don't want to do this again this year. I just want to, and man, I came in, and through the worship, and of course, I'd been gone all week, but came in the worship, and just being with the brothers, and oh man, it was like almost instantly my heart was stirred and moved, and I was encouraged, and God just began to pour into me and remind me of so many things. So we may be on the other side oftentimes, but it's such an integral part, and that's why the people we don't see here today, and I'm not just talking about Sunday school, but it could be other times, that's why we still got to pull them in. That's why we got to, as Lee calls it, evangelize those guys. Go and preach the gospel to them and pull them in, because they're running the same race we are. Well, the race God has called them to, but ultimately the goal is the same. Our end is the same. And so Let's go back and look at the it here that he says in there. So what is the it that Paul is talking about in verse 12 and 13? And if we go back to verse 8, we'll see this. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." That's the first part of the it. That's the first part of the prize. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." And isn't that what an athlete does? I mean, they give up their normal lives. I mean, they're not hanging out with buddies. And don't take this, I know, look, my temptation is when I say these things, for your flesh to say, "Oh, okay, now I see. I got to ditch everybody. I got to isolate. I got to, you know, I'm going to go join a monastery somewhere. That's how I do this," you know. Not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's his job. He's training us. He's telling us. He's going to tell you what to do. And that's what their trainers do. They tell them what to do every part of the day. They tell them what to eat, when to eat it, how to eat it, when to sleep, when to get up, when to run, when to do this. I mean, it's done for them. But isn't that how an athlete works, right? Forget it. I don't have time for all that. Love you guys, but I've got something coming up in 4 years, and there's only one way I'm going to get to it. There's only one way I'm going to reach the prize. So I count everything, "for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings." And so it's both. It's both. Paul says, "I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of his resurrection." And guys, that's an incredible statement if you think about that, because elsewhere Paul talks about that the very same power that raised him from the dead is the power that lives in us. And so Paul is saying, "I get to know that. If I run this race, if I pursue this, if I strain and I press on, I get to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection." And we can ask for the gifts all day long, but if we will do what God has called us to, in clinging to the Holy Spirit, in pressing in, and straining forward, and holding on, it'll be a net, because we're going to have the power of his resurrection in our lives. It's going to pour out. You're going to have that resurrection power, and may share his sufferings, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy path. It's going to be hard. But there is Paul, and I don't know it, but I know people, you know, like I watch Robin, and she is learning the glory of sharing in his sufferings. And I don't get it, because I look from the outside and I just don't know how it could, but I know it because she tells me. I know it because she expresses it. And so somehow, and that's just a part of suffering, right? That's not all of it, but may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so that's what he's talking about, that it, that thing that he's wanting to obtain, that he's wanting to grab hold of. And let's just keep going. We'll close with these scriptures. In Hebrews 12, 1, he says, chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and that's us as well, right? That's the heavens, but it's also us for one another. "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance." And when it says endurance there in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is, this is the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. That's what that is trying to tell us there. So I'll read that again. When he says, "Let us run with endurance," it is the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. It means to be patient and steadfast. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I think it's important what Paul says, the race that is set before us, because this is what God was speaking through Lee that night. "I have laid this before you. I have given you the harvest." We would choose our own race. That's what I would do. I would choose my own race for this year. I would choose my own race that maybe is not as hard as it is sometimes. Or maybe I get to take a different path. And, you know, you see this sometimes too, you know, where in these races somebody takes the shortcut, right? You know, and that's what we would do. And he says, our race, he says, set before us. And that's the other thing is, it's not somebody else's race. I can't look at somebody else and go, God, why do they have it so good? Why does theirs seem to be so easy? What's up with their race? Their race, God has set their race. Now, our end is all the same. Our prize is all the same. But how we're getting there, it's all looking different. It's all going to be different. So don't be swerved and moved by those things. So let us run the race set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. And look, when Paul says, I do it all for the sake, Paul never, and don't ever take his words as ever as hyperbole, that exaggeration, that he's just, okay. He's trying to drive home a point. Paul didn't speak like that. Paul says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may, and in this context here, he's talking about reaching the lost. In 1 Corinthians, that's what he's talking about. Because before this is where he says, I've become all things to all men. You know, to the Jew, I'm a Jew. And so this is what his context, that I may, and again, bring it back to what God is saying, the harvest has been laid before us, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And we know what that it is now. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, and that word just means uncertainty. Are we just going through the motions is what it would mean. Paul's saying, are we just going through the motions? We just on cruise control? I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And just to be clear, before I end there, if you want to, well, just to be clear, I'm not advocating for our flesh to take off running. I'm not advocating for us to say, all right, well, okay, so starting tomorrow, here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm gonna, and then just, and that's not what Paul is advocating. But if we, and I'm going to go back and read what Lee said again, if we'll do this, the Holy Spirit will accomplish this in us. But rather for us to move in that grace, praise, and faith, relying on and communing with the Holy Spirit and resting and remaining in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to go back and read these words and we'll close with this and be done. So this is what, again, what he said. What is the Lord showing you in the new year? Nothing new. I have laid out for my people the harvest and I have called them to it. I have given them grace beyond measure. I have withheld nothing from my people. I have taught them praise and I have called them to it because it is the answer to my presence. I have encouraged them in faith. Now it is for us to walk in that. He has built upon these things year after year. It is time to continue to grow in these things, walk in these things, and move in these things. Cultivate a desperation for the Holy Spirit. He is your greatest friend and companion. Through him, you can pray and worship and prevail over anything that comes against your life. Return to something you've been acquainted with in the past. The ability to come into his presence and rest there and commune with him and fellowship with him, where the Holy Spirit is able to breathe upon the coals of your heart and cause you to burn for him with a burning love and fervency and desire for the Lord. We can't make it without the presence and the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to come to him for his power. I want to come to him for him because he's precious and he's loving and he's gentle. He wants you in his presence. He wants you familiar with him. You know where you are. You know if you sense an urgency. Rekindle the ability to tarry and linger in the presence of the Lord so that we can experience and know the ways of his moving, the breathings of the Lord upon our lives, the visitation of the Holy Spirit that bring us peace, comfort, and joy. Our only help is that we come into his presence. And so, Father, I ask that you would do this in us, God. Help me most of all, God. Help me most of all. And God, you said, when we grow weary, we grow. You said that, God, when we strive and we strain and we press on, you said that you will freely give us your energy, your life, your power that you so mightily work within us. That's what you said. And so, Holy Spirit, do this in us. Quicken these words into my heart and into our hearts. The time is short. The race is almost over. And I don't want to be one that's clinging to the things of the past. That's not straining. That's not striving for that upward call, for that prize of knowing you and your resurrection power, knowing you in your sufferings and in your death, Lord, that you may be seen, that you may be glorified, that the lost, that the harvest might be reaped, and that we would all do it together. Help me to help others run their race, God. Not to tell them how to do it, but to encourage them, to stir them up, God, when they're weak and tired. As you say, when weak knees, when we grow weak and tired, Lord. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. Even now as we go into this service, let it be that we would run this race and we would cling to you, Holy Spirit, and you would visit us with your presence, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and love you. Amen.